Good morning. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and as you know, Proverbs, within a proverb there are many different themes and different things. It's a collection of wise sayings of Solomon, but I think this morning would be good just to go through it and meditate on it. Proverbs chapter 11, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation today, the NLT. Okay. Let's pray first. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and we ask for your wisdom through the book of Proverbs, and we ask that you would guide us into understanding just your heart and what you want us to do and how to live. God, we pray that as we listen to your word and meditate on it, Lord, that it would change our hearts. God, we pray that it would just reveal and expose, God, the depth of our sin. And Lord, that we know that we need you as our Savior. And so, God, we pray for your revelation today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 11, verse 1. The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. The godly are directed by honesty. The wicked fall beneath their load of sin. The godliness of good people rescues them. The ambition of treacherous people traps them. When the wicked die, their hopes die with them, for they rely on their own feeble strength. The godly are rescued from trouble. It falls on the wicked instead. With their words, the godless destroy their friends, but knowledge will rescue the righteous. The whole city celebrates when the godly succeed. They shout for joy when the wicked die. Upright citizens are good for a city and make it prosper, but the talk of the wicked tears it apart. It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. There is danger in putting up security for a stranger's debt. It's safer not to guarantee another person's debt. A gracious woman gains respect, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. Godly people find life, evil people find death. The Lord detests people with crooked hearts, but he delights in those with integrity. Evil people will surely be punished, but the children of the godly will go free. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. The godly can look forward to a reward like the wicked can expect only judgment. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. If you search for good, you will find favor, but if you search for evil, it will find you. Trust in your money and down you go, but the godly flourish like leaves in spring. Those who bring trouble on their families inherit the wind. The fool will be a servant to the wise. The seeds of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends. If the righteous are rewarded here on earth, what will happen to wicked sinners? I like the Psalms and I like the Proverbs because it causes us to reflect and to sort of compare sort of our hearts and our lives with what the Proverbs or the Psalms are saying. And one thing that this psalm touches upon is this idea of generosity and money and wealth. I think one of the greatest deceptions that we have, that we're bound by, is this false sense of security from money. I think the greatest deception of wealth is that it creates this false sense of security. And it's true that the more money we have, the more secure we may feel. And that's why, we strive to earn more. And I don't know anyone in this world that is content with the amount of money that they make, always striving for more, because then the sense is, well, if anything happens, then I have enough money to last me, for however long, So maybe if we're unemployed or whatever, we have this security that we can still continue in this life. But we all know that our jobs are fragile. This world is fragile. Life is fragile in terms of money. If the stock market crashes or whatever, just in an instant, everything could be gone. A natural disaster happens and your assets are all gone. And so wealth and money gives us a false sense of security. There's going to be a time where we give an account of our lives to God. And on that day, as verse 4 says, Proverbs 11:4 says, on that day our money is going to be useless. Our money is not going to help us on that day, on that final day. And so, if you go to any sort of seminars or, they try to tell you to keep the end goal in mind. For example, if you're applying for jobs and you look at the sort of the job description and they say you need these skills and these skills and these skills, well, the current job that you're working at, needs to fulfill those skills for the job that you're applying to. In other words, you have to have the end goal in mind and then work towards that end goal, because you can't be just going through life and then trying to apply to this new job and you look at the job description and you're like, man, I don't have any of these skills. I ought to have had this job description, the end in mind, in front of me, and then now currently work towards whatever that is. But if we have the end in mind, and we know that at the end we'll receive, we'll face Jesus and we'll be at those pearly gates, our security in our money and in wealth is not going to help us. It's actually useless. And verse 28 in Psalms 11 says, the person whose hope is in riches is headed for a fall. And so therefore, what is Solomon trying to say? What is the writer of the Proverbs trying to say? He's trying to say, look, our security is not in our riches. And this is coming from Solomon, who was the richest man in the world at the time. This is coming from him. He's saying, look, I have riches. I have everything. I have everything that I want in regards to money and other things. But even he realizes, look, if we put our hope in that, we're going to be headed for a fall. So he understands that only trust in God offers that true security. What I want to sort of get our mind towards is this idea of understanding that if our lives and security is not based on money, what does the Bible tell us about our heart in regards to that? And he talks about generosity in Psalms 11. But if we could turn our eyes to Jesus, who is the greatest example of generosity, God is the greatest example of generosity, and he manifested that through Jesus, who God, out of his incredible generosity, gave his greatest possession, his only son, Jesus. And Romans 8 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? It's interesting that in the Bible that prayer, someone did the stat, prayer is mentioned 289 times, love 363 times, and give or giving is mentioned 1,043 times. And so the Bible talks a lot about this idea of giving and generosity. Many of us have heard the illustration of the Dead Sea and why it's dead. It's because there's no outlet. But other seas have life and in it because of an outlet that it has. And for us, it means generosity and giving. Winston Churchill said that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And so what are we trying to do? Are we trying to make a living, trying to get through and get by, or are we trying to take a step back, a higher perspective, and ask ourselves, why did God put us on this earth? Is it to make a living, or is it to make a life? And so extreme generosity doesn't really have much to do about money, but it has to do about your heart. Obviously, Jesus gives us an example of the widow that gave two copper coins, and she gave all that we had, and that was and God blessed that. Psalms 112:5 says that good will come to him who is generous. Obviously, our generosity in giving materially is a reflection of our hearts spiritually. And so if we have a difficult time giving, it's a reflection of our heart. And giving comes in other ways, obviously, time and resources and just even mental energy and just our attitudes and things like that. And so we have to have the understanding that if we give, it will be given back to us. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured over into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And that's Luke chapter 6. And the scriptures are all over the place, talk about this idea of giving. And so this morning, what I want us to do is to reflect upon the Proverbs. And there's a lot of different words of wisdom and saying, but if we could just look at our own hearts and examine our own hearts in the area of giving and generosity, it doesn't mean that you have to start giving all your money all away and all of that. It's just a reminder this morning to examine your heart. Maybe our hearts have gotten cold. Maybe our hearts have gotten hardened. One gauge to know about your walk with God is this area of generosity. Why? Because God, through Jesus Christ, demonstrated this model and this example that wherever Jesus went, he gave his time, his wisdom. He gave himself, ultimately, his life, so that we may live. And this is sort of the path and the model that God has given us. So I want to encourage you this morning to even go back and meditate and reread the Proverbs over and over again. And may those Proverbs, as we reflect and as we see if our lives are parallel to that, may it change our hearts. May the Word of God change our hearts this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, you are a generous God. And Father, we just thank you that that you've demonstrated that and you showed us the way. God, you've proved to us that giving is the secret to life, God. You said that the generous will prosper. Father, you also said that those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And Lord, we are a people here that needs a refreshing, God, from the living water that is you. Father, we just ask, God, that we may be refreshed, not by receiving and getting, but that we would experience you through giving and refreshing others. Help us to have open hands and open hearts. Lord, we present ourselves and we present our hearts before you. And we put them at the feet of the cross. And Lord, we say, take our hearts. Take our life and let it be, God.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we'll wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength for us. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You're the everlasting God. You're the everlasting God. Oh, you are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray and let's intercede and let's ask the Lord to heal those who are going through such a challenging time with cancer and radiation therapy and surgery and recovery. And let's pray for their families and let's ask the Lord to bring comfort and grace and healing. Yeah, let's lift them up in prayer right now. Let's pray for the salvation of those who are going through also a difficult time with their health. Let's ask the Lord to open the their eyes. The Lord says that he doesn't want anyone to perish. And so let's pray and intercede that they would receive the gift of life through Jesus Christ. Let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for those that are struggling with other sicknesses, and let's pray for healing for them, and let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for those looking for work and jobs, and let's ask the Lord to provide for them during this time and to provide opportunities. So let's lift them up in prayer now. Pray for our mission focus for today, and let's lift up Indonesia for our Phoebe ministry and Pastor Salamat. Let's pray for Kupang, and there's a team going there in August, so let's lift up that mission team, ask for provision of their finances and for safety and wisdom as they serve, that God would use them to help the local community, obviously in this Muslim country, that they would be encouraged, refreshed, and that they would grow. Let's pray for salvation through that trip. Let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG, and ask the Lord to bless them and provide for them. And let's bless our two nations this morning. Let's pray for our education ministries, for Noah's Ark and Pastor Carol and SP Youth and Pastor Nate and SPU, Pastor Hyunsu. Let's ask the Lord to bless them. Let's also ask the Lord for volunteers in these ministries, that God would call people to serve there. And let's ask the Lord to bless our children, our kids, that they would experience Christ at an early age, and transformation and healing for any wounds. So let's lift up our education ministries now. Let's pray for our weekend activities, and looks like a lot. So let's ask the Lord to inspire and to breathe life into those that are meeting together, and ask the Lord to bless all of our weekend activities. So can we lift it up in prayer now? Pray for our three final house churches meeting. These are the very, very last ones of the season. And so let's lift them up that the Lord would bless them, and that they would experience community as God intended it. And so let's pray for our three house churches. Father, we just ask that you give us wisdom in all areas of our lives. God, we ask for your spirit to direct our paths. And Lord, we want to be filled with your presence. God, help us to see beyond ourselves and see that you are with us, that you will not leave us or forsake us. God, we pray that you would encourage our hearts and fill us with joy today. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life, and Lord, we just ask for your blessing over our lives today, God. We lift your name, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray.